From the heart of the Forest City, Blackburn Media presents the Craig Needles Podcast, looking at the biggest stories in London and around the world and how they impact you. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's the Craig Needles Podcast on a Thursday here at the Blackburn Media Studios. We are on ClassicRock981.com. We're at LondonNewsToday.ca. And of course, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. The Craig Needles Podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Lots to talk about today. Stephen Del Duca, leader of the Ontario Liberal Party, was in London last night. You're going to hear my questions to him briefly. I talked about the ODSP thing, which, as you know, I've talked about quite a bit on the podcast. Also, Zach Armstrong, Kate Graham's campaign manager, going to join me in just a little bit to talk about what they're focused on over the next couple of weeks. And I want to begin by saying that I hope that both Mike Schreiner and Andrea Horvath are feeling better soon. They have both said in the last 12 hours here, last night for Schreiner, this morning for Horvath, that they have COVID-19. And I hope that they continue to feel okay. And I hope that this is something that is behind them relatively quickly and they can get back out on the campaign trail. We'll see how long that takes for them. But that is what I'm hoping to see happen for both of them for the sake of having a full and robust campaign, which is exactly what we as a province should be doing. Speaking of Ontario provincial leader, Stephen Del Duca has tested for COVID-19. He says he has tested negative. Doug Ford says he has no symptoms. I don't think he said that he's tested, but whatever. They're going to continue to campaign those two, and there's no reason why they shouldn't. Stephen Del Duca was campaigning in London just last night. He was at Kate Graham's parents' backyard, where they are doing a little bit of a rally, having a happy birthday party for Kate. And, you know, they had a pretty good crowd there, I thought. It wasn't something that was a ton of run-up to as far as lead time for the event. They had a pretty good crowd there. I think that campaign is going well. They feel good about that. And like I said, we're going to be talking about it with Zach Armstrong shortly. But Stephen Del Duca, unlike Premier Ford, by the way, when Doug Ford was in London, took questions from the media. And I got a chance to ask a few about what's going on with the Ontario Disability Support Program. And as you know, I've criticized the Liberals, the New Democrats, and the Progressive Conservatives for having rates that are just simply too low, unacceptably low, in their platform proposals. This is the exchange that I had with Stephen Del Duca. It was in a crowded tent. It was raining last night. It was in a crowded tent, so you can kind of hear some folks chatting in the background, of course. But I think that you can get a pretty clear sense of what the conversation was supposed to be like. So here is the back and forth I had with Stephen Del Duca about Ontario Disability Support Program last night.
Stephen, you talked about two things, affordability and the NDP altering their platform. That brings me to Ontario Disability Support Program. Sure. Your plan tops out at $1,400 a month, which is quite frankly significantly below the poverty line. What do you say to disabled Ontarians who say that that plan forces them into further poverty?
So what I have said on this is understanding there's a very significant challenge that Ontarians with disabilities face. Our plan, as you pointed out, does include raising the rates by 20% over 2 years. That's part of the plan. The other part of the plan is taking a maximum amount that those receiving ODSP can earn on an annual basis from $2,400 up to $6,000 before their benefits are clawed back. And our plan also builds in protection for inflation. But in addition to that, the rest of the items that are contained in our 19-point affordability pledge will also help those who are receiving ODSP. So, for example, when I talk about an old-age security top-up of $1,000 for vulnerable seniors, that will apply to some seniors who are receiving ODSP. When I talk about making sure the prepared meals will be cheaper, under $20, or buck a ride province-wide, again, those are all elements, rent control, that can help those that are on the ODSP. But the last thing I'll mention is that we have made a commitment to reinstate the basic income demonstration project. We all know what Doug Ford did 4 years ago. Promised he would keep it in place to get elected, and then canceled it rather callously upon taking office. We'll restart that. We want it to take place as quickly as possible to get the information in so we can make a responsible and informed decision about how to modernize all of the benefits that we have instead of just tinkering around the edges. So we're going to increase the rates, we're going to build in a significant number of affordability measures, and we're going to do the demonstration project and then take a look at how to make sure we truly modernize the support payment system in this province.
But for Ontarians who can't work without disabilities, there's still going to be a year and a half, 2 year period here where that rate sitting at $1,400, and based on rents, based on costs, the poverty line is sitting above $2,000, well above $2,000. how are you going to justify that to Ontarians who cannot work, have a disability, and say, hey, this barely even covers my rent, $1,400
a month. So again, you have to look at the entire package of what we are talking about around the affordability. I know the other parties have a few one-off announcements on this. Nobody else has signed. No other person running to be premier has literally publicly and openly signed a 19-point affordability pledge the way that I have, the way that we have. You can hold us accountable to deliver, starting within 100 days of taking office in some cases, on every single element of that affordability pledge, which will help all Ontarians, including Ontarians who receive ODSP. While we're increasing the rates, while we're protecting the rates against inflation, while we're increasing the cap on what they can earn before benefits are clawed back, and while we are doing the important work of gathering the information from the demonstration project on a basic income, so we can make a decision that will work for them once that work is completed.
What's wrong with the Greens plan? Just double it.
Well, look, I think that the most important thing we can do is tackle the affordability crisis for those receiving ODSP and for all Ontarians at the same time. And we are the only party that is actually taking a look at being able to do that.
Well, the Greens are doubling
it. Okay, we're going to take one last question.
So the Greens are doubling it, but I've not seen a 19-point affordability pledge from the Greens in their platform. So I haven't seen Bucker Ride province-wide, for example. I haven't seen talking about the housing affordability crisis the way that we are. And the list goes on from there. And that's no disrespect to Mr. Schweiner. It's simply a comment about our plan being comprehensive, targeting, yes, those who receive ODSP, but all Ontario families as well.
So there's the relevant portion of the scrum. It was about 9 minutes long in total. I played you about half of it. So yeah, maybe I took up a few more questions than I needed to. And I don't know if staff were necessarily thrilled with my line of questioning. But I think it's important to hold politicians to a certain standard. I'll tell you this. When and if Andrea Horvath comes back to London, and obviously this COVID diagnosis would tell you that that may not be the case in the campaign, I guess we'll see, she's going to get the same questions from me. I'll ask her the exact same questions because these questions need to be asked. And I keep coming back to this. On my walk to work today, I saw a few folks who were needing some assistance, you know? Sleeping rough, having a hard time. And I'm not saying higher ODSP rates is going to solve that problem for everybody. I can't tell you that. But low ODSP rates and low Ontario works rates are part of the problem. If you want to see fewer people who are homeless in the downtown core, you have to be advocating for higher ODSP rates. And the fact that none of the three leading parties are doing that, or at least high enough ODSP rates in year one, I've got a real problem with that. Now, the NDP, and this is something Stephen Del Duca pointed out in his remarks last night, the NDP platform is changing on a pretty regular basis. I think they've had four. And when Stephen Del Duca points that out, he's correct. Like, there's just no way you can possibly dispute that. The NDP campaign has been, I just think, not particularly good. They've ticked off some of their longtime supporters with the ODSP stuff. They've had to change all sorts of stuff within the platform. And I just don't see what they're getting voters excited about. I'm not sure how excited Liberal voters are. But I'll tell you right now, I don't see what the NDP is getting their voters excited about. So maybe the Progressive Conservatives are just going to win because the party that was closest to them in seat count coming into the race is just not having a very good campaign, not having a very good time. So I would suspect that we might see the trend of the orange vote dropping continue. Again, we've got 2 weeks out. Lots of stuff can happen. But I think that may continue. I think that may continue. I want to talk about the race that Stephen Del Duca was here to try to sway. He came to London North Centre because he wants to see Kate Graham win and be the next MPP for London North Centre, which is fine. I think it's a tight three-way race, and that's what I was saying last night when I was talking to people there, and I think there's some general agreement that that's the case. So that being the case, that's why Stephen Del Duca wants to come to London, wants to come to London North Centre, get people fired up, get them knocking on doors, get them putting up signs, and then you hopefully, hopefully for their sake, can transition that into some votes. I want to welcome Zach Armstrong to the podcast. He's going to talk about what a leadership visit means to a campaign. But first, I want to remind you this podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Lifestyle with the drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting for you at Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Choose yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London. 1065 Warrencliffe Road South and online at lexusoflondon.com. Zach Armstrong is the manager of Kate Graham's campaign. Fresh off the leadership visit, he joins us here on the Craig Needles podcast to talk about that and what's next for the campaign. Zach, thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm always glad to come and talk to you, Craig. Thanks so much.
So first, Stephen Del Duca visits last night. The leader of the party visiting the riding a couple weeks out from the election. Obviously, that's a big deal. That's not something that just happens by happenstance. It's a targeted decision. What's it mean when the leader of the party comes for a visit just 2 weeks from E-Day?
Yeah, so, you know, the Kate Graham campaign was just thrilled when we heard that Stephen Del Duca was going to be coming down to visit us here in London North Centre. It means a lot when a leader comes down. You know, this is an extremely close election, and the leader's team has to make some really important and strategic decisions on where to send the leader on a day-to-day basis. And when he comes here, it really signifies that this is a close race, that we're in it to win it. And that Kate Graham is, you know, worth investing the time and the energy to come down here and showcase the hard work that our campaign is doing. And I think, you know, we're hearing that on the doors as well. People are really interested in Kate. They're really interested in what Stephen Del Duca has to say. And they're really interested in changing the government. What they're focused on the most is finding the best way to do that. And for me, certainly the answer to that question is Kate Graham, the Ontario Liberal Party.
This is going to be, in my estimation, a close race. And I've been saying this for some time, that all three parties are going to go into this race thinking they have a chance to win. Is that your belief right now, that we're kind of in a really tight race at this point?
Yeah, for everything that we can see, this is an incredibly close three-way race, sort of 30-30-30 across the board. And I think that's a really interesting and frankly, quite fun place to be. It's very motivating for me. It's very motivating for Kate Graham. And it's very motivating for every one of the volunteers that's coming out with us every single day to go and knock on doors and talk to the people in London North Centre. You know, people are ready for something different. People in London across the board are very tired of the chaos and the cuts and the corruption of the Doug Ford government, the Ford Conservatives, and they're looking for an alternative. And in Kate Graham and the Ontario Liberal team, they're going to find that alternative. And I'm confident on June 2nd, we're going to have a new MPP in London North Centre, and we're going to have a new government in Toronto.
What does it look like when you're at the doors and you're asking people about, you know, what the last 4 years have been like? What are they saying to you? What's the response?
Well, people are tired. Right? Like, I'm tired. The pandemic has been a lot. but it's important to remember that, you know, I was tired before the pandemic, because there were a lot of things that the Ford Conservatives were already messing up without the addition of COVID-19 into the equation, right? There was already chaos in schools. There was already challenges with the autism wait lists. There was already challenges in our healthcare system, and those things weren't being solved. And certainly COVID-19 has brought those issues even more to the fore. So like I said, I think people are ready for a change in government. And I think they're just ready for a change in politics, right? They want people who are going to bring our communities together, bring our province together, and solve the challenges of today and really rise to the opportunities of tomorrow. And that's the exact type of thing that Kate Graham wants to do. That's the exact type of thing that our campaign has been focused on since day one and remains focused on today.
What is the focus then for the next 2 weeks here? What happens?
Yeah, the focus for the next 2 weeks is talking to as many voters in London North Centre as possible, and making sure that they can hear from Kate, that they can talk to Kate and let us know the important issues that are on their mind. You know, we have canvases going out multiple times a day, every single day of the week, even weekends, even holidays. We're doing a big push this weekend for advanced polls, which of course open today on May 19th and run until May 28th. And we want to make sure that everyone votes, you know, even if they're voting for someone else. But certainly we want to make sure all of the supporters for Kate Graham get out there to the polls as soon as possible.
Is this election about something? Because I've been struggling to think about what this election was about. For a while, I thought it was going to be about the government's COVID response. And it doesn't appear to be that's the case. And for like, it doesn't seem to be something the opposition is going super hard on. So what is this election about, do you think?
Yeah, I think for a long time, a lot of us expected this campaign to be sort of a referendum on COVID. And it's certainly not turning out to be that way. And, you know, there are 2 weeks left, and 2 weeks is a long time in politics, so that remains to be seen what will come forward in the coming days. But certainly for us, what we hear on the doors, what Kate Graham hears on the doors, is that people are really feeling the pinch. They're concerned about affordability. They're concerned about sort of the long-term prospects of public education, of public healthcare. And those issues are really challenging and complex. And it just doesn't seem like the Ford Conservatives have any plan to make our education system better, to make our healthcare system more secure. The Ontario Liberal Party does have a plan for those things. You know, we want to invest a transformative investment into senior care and primarily home care with a home care guarantee. We want to reduce the cost of transit across the board, across the province, to buck a ride. So buck a ride province wide is the tagline. and there's a whole slew of other issues that we are putting forward there are a whole other sort of policies and ideas that we are putting forward to really make life more affordable for families across Ontario, including here in London. And it just doesn't seem like the other parties are really focusing on that as much as we are.
I know that I'm preaching the choir here, but I'm still struggling with the NDP campaign. And I don't understand sort of how they've gone about this. Like I disagree with some of the things in the Liberal platform, and I talked about that earlier in the podcast, and that's fine. But I understand sort of the thought process behind a lot of it. I don't understand the NDP platform, to be honest. I don't get it. So it's been a confusing campaign that way for me. And I'm very fascinated to see kind of how it turns out here. Last thing, how do we keep volunteers motivated as you're running a campaign here? What's it like sort of as you interact with the people who are kind of, you know, the lifeblood of the campaign that are part of those teams knocking on doors and putting up signs?
So I'm going to go back just briefly, and I want you to know that it's okay that it's you're finding the NDP platform confusing, because it seems like every day it's changed.
Well, the NDP finds the NDP platform confusing. So there's that. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's fine. That's their own decision to make. But within the Kate Graham campaign, we're not having trouble motivating our volunteers. We have people coming out every day. We know that this election is close, but we also know that this election is winnable. And for us, what is most motivating is the knowledge that only Liberals defeat Conservatives. And I want to take you back a little bit into 2018, which is not something that I typically tend to focus on, because I'm very much focused on the future and electing Kate Graham on June 2nd. But in the 2018 election, the NDP did not defeat a single Conservative incumbent, not one, across the entire province. They beat a bunch of Liberals. I know, I was there. London North Centre was one of them. But they didn't defeat a single Conservative. And every poll in this campaign that has been released, the NDP has been in third place. They haven't a single time, this is 20 polls throughout this campaign in the last 2.5 weeks, 20 polls, they haven't once exceeded 26% support. The Liberal Party, on the other hand, has consistently been above 26% support. We've been in second place in every one of those polls and within striking distance of the Conservatives in every one. So if people's motivation is to defeat Doug Ford and to get rid of the chaos and cuts of a Ford Conservative government, then really the choice is to vote for a Liberal government and vote for Kate Graham in London North Centre.
I'll push back on that a little bit, that, you know, there are a lot of ridings that are going to be Conservative versus Liberal races, absolutely. But, like, I just don't think this is one of them, right? This is a riding where it's a legitimate three-way race, in my estimation, right?
Yeah, so it's a legitimate three-way race right now. I agree with that assessment. That's certainly what the projections are suggesting. But I do want to unpack that a little bit as well. So the conservatives are at, you know, between 25 and 30% from what we can tell in all of the projections. But the conservatives in London North Centre are always between 25 and 30%. They've seen no growth from even the results in the last election, despite, you know, the province-wide numbers looking pretty good for the conservatives. So it's just sort of an expectation for me that the conservatives are going to draw 30% support. On the flip side, you know, within the progressive vote, and within that I include the NDP, the Greens, and certainly the Liberals, you know, there's 65, almost 70% of available vote. So that's a massive majority. And right now it's being split in half by the Liberals and the NDP. And I think over the next 2 weeks, we're going to see more and more people come back to the Liberal Party when they see Kate Graham, when they hear Kate Graham on the radio, when they see her on the television. They're going to realize that she's the clear choice, that she's the best person to represent them at Queen's Park. And on June 2nd, Kate Graham is going to be our next MPP.
Well, we've got 2 weeks from now on June 2nd. I'm looking forward to it. Zach, I will let you get back to campaigning and all that lovely stuff. Thank you so much for giving me a few minutes on the podcast today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. Really appreciate it.
That's Zach Armstrong joining us here on the Craig Needles Podcast, talking about what's going on in the London North Centre race. We'll continue to talk about other races and everything going on the Craig Needles Podcast throughout the rest of the election. We've got 2 weeks to go, so we're getting to the home stretch here. On tomorrow's podcast, Friday Roundtable, going to be joined by political insider Ryan Goss, former city councilor Hollywood Cheryl Miller, and Miranda Chan, Blackburn Media, joining us on the Craig Needles Podcast. Friday Roundtable tomorrow, lots to talk about that trio, so hopefully you can listen to and download that podcast. Thanks for listening to this edition. You are listening to the Craig Needles Podcast, which of course you can find at classicrock981.com, londonnewstoday.ca, and on your favorite podcast app. The Craig Needles Podcast is brought to you by Lexus of London. Lifestyle with the drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Choose yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warrencliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of Blackburn Media.